Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. We're here today for the LGBTQ Spotlight, and I'm sitting with Susan Reeves. How are you, Susan?
I'm fine, Scott. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. So you're a retired social worker, but you're also still an activist, correct?
Yes, I guess I sort of consider myself an armchair activist these days because I'm early retired due to some disability issues and I'm not as mobile as I once was. So no more marching down the street in a gay pride parade. I have to do whatever I do pretty much low-key and primarily from my armchair.
So you used to march in gay pride parades?
Yeah, I kind of came of age in San Francisco. I grew up in Fort Bragg, California, and graduated high school in 1973, and I moved to San Francisco to go to San Francisco State University, and I lived in the dorms my first year, but then I moved to the area that's now known as the Castro, as it was becoming the Castro. I lived on 17th Street, where Market and Castro and 17th Street all come together, about a block from Harvey Milk's camera shop. I used to buy my film and flash bulbs from him. And
really?
So when he and Cleve Jones, who I also was a friend with, I wasn't a friend with Harvey Milk, but I was a friend with Cleve Jones. We knew each other at college and did some campus organizing. When they would get their bullhorns out and start off on a march down the street, say when Anita Bryant was pulling her silly business in Florida, et cetera, as the crowd gathered, they were right outside my window. So I just put on my hiking boots and march with them.
Anita Bryant, that's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
Oh, let's not even go there, but it took me a long time to drink orange juice, let me tell you.
Yeah, if you're listening to the podcast and you want to learn more about Anita Bryant and what happened, feel free to Google Anita Bryant and see what you find out. Interesting lady. So that would be interesting to be in San Francisco in the 70s.
It was. 1973 seemed to be a big year for an awful lot of things. It was Roe v. Wade. It was gay rights. It was just about anything you would imagine. I'm surprised sometimes when I look back at historical things and see how many things were happening right around then. My high school yearbook quote was from Rod McEwen, who was a bisexual poet. It was, it doesn't matter who you love or how you love, but that you love. So it doesn't really come as any surprise to me that I have been a big armchair proponent of the March for Marriage Equality. And I'm very happy that the Supreme Court voted on the right side of the Constitution for that one.
So do you consider yourself an ally then, or how would you identify?
Well, actually, I consider myself a B in the LGBT. That stands for bisexual. And while there are probably other terms that have come about since then, that's probably the one that I've identified with the most. I've had relationships with both men and women in my time. And I'm married to a man in a monogamous relationship. We've been married 15 years. And the term bisexual invisibility gets bandied about a lot. And I think it's really important. We see it with our Oregon state governor. She's married to a man and has been for quite some time. And she could just fade into the woodwork should she choose. But she maintains her bisexual identity. You don't ever have to have had a relationship with somebody, a physical relationship, to be bisexual. I mean, it's about who you're attracted to or capable of being attracted to. So while I have had romantic relationships with both men and women, not everybody necessarily who identifies as bisexual has done so. They could just be aware of their own attractions. Yeah.
Well, I think the same thing is true for anybody in the acronym LGBTQ, right? I mean, I, for a long time when I was younger, was abstinent and I still identified as gay. Now I right. identify as queer, right? Because I feel like that label, so to speak, fits me better because it's less sexualized. But I think the same thing, right? I think it's there's so much focus put on it's who you're having sex with. And it's not really. It's deeper than that, right? And as you acknowledge, it's deeper in your person than just who you're having sex with at the time or who your partner might be. So I think that's really important because, there's a lot of people that, could choose, if they're bisexual, like you said, to kind of fade into the woodwork or the background. And
I know people from the other standpoint, too, who might be in a same gender relationship, for instance, two women together, and people assume that that person is a lesbian, right. But that might not be their own self-identification.
Yeah. One of the things that I know that you and I have talked about, Susan, before also is the sort of internal struggle within the LGBT community acronym or whatever about that sort of, well, people that might be listening to this podcast might not be aware of this, but there's sometimes people who identify as gay or identify as a lesbian sometimes frown upon people who are bisexual. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, maybe?
Well, I can a little bit, sure. I've certainly experienced that in my own life. The first girlfriend that I had actually preemptively broke up with me because she figured eventually I'd ditch her for a guy. And at the same time, I knew lesbians who really didn't want to be friends with a bisexual woman because they just didn't like the idea that you'd been with men. Probably the most significant experience I had personally that was very, very painful was during the AIDS epidemic when one of my very dear friends was very ill and ultimately died. And he had a group of men friends that I really didn't know until we got to the bedside stuff and the vigil before he died. And then when I showed up with a new girlfriend at a AIDS candlelight memorial march in San Francisco on that same corner where I had lived, they rejected me. They said, we didn't know this about you and we can't handle it. We don't want that woman around. I mean, she was just an ordinary person, but it was one of the most painful experiences I probably ever had because we'd shared that intimacy of my friend and his journey to die, which brought us really close together. And then they just kind of kicked me to the curb, which was very, very difficult. So yeah, I think probably because a lot of people, as they're coming to terms with their sexuality, if they're homosexual, sometimes first stick their toe in the water and come out as bisexual and then eventually come out as gay. I think a lot of people who are completely on the Kinsey scale as gay just assume that people who proclaim bisexuality, it's just a phase. I mean, not necessarily true, but something they're just testing the people around them with. And in fact, there are people who truly are attracted to people of either gender. And the longer we live and the more we understand gender, we also understand that that stuff can be pretty fluid too. There's a term that I've seen on the internet, pansexual, which means you can be attracted to people of anywhere on the gender. It's not necessarily gender binary, but people, you know, I could be attracted to somebody transgendered, for instance. And maybe that even fits me better. I don't know, but I'm 60 years old, so I'll stick with bisexual at this point.
Yeah. I've certainly noticed in my life that we can be the hardest on those that are within our community, so to speak. Right. And sometimes, yes, that judgment from outside can be really, really harsh, but there's a judgment sometimes within the community that's even harsher because these are our friends or these are people that we know and they find out things about us or, like I will out myself in this podcast. I'm very attracted to trans men and I have been for a long time, but how do you open that dialogue with somebody, right? How do you open that dialogue and say, I'm very attracted to trans men. I relate to them easier than I relate to gay men. It's odd. It's strange. And it's not something that I truly understand because it's something beyond the sexual part, right? It's more the emotional and mental connection.
Right.
But it's just interesting how we're so, can be so hard on people within our own community.
There are times when I read comments on, I read the gay press a lot on Facebook. And sometimes in the comment sections, I'm just really shocked at how harsh people in the LGBT community can be toward others. And I suppose some of it might be because people in their own childhood or youth may have been bullied a lot. And I don't know if it makes them bullies or if it's just hiding behind a keyboard. But some of the things that get said have, there have been days where I just have to turn off the computer and go in the other room because I can't handle it. And that's why the LGBT meet and greet at Oxenfree, I think, is really nice because everybody comes from a different walk. I mean, the only real unifying thing there is that people identify as LGBTQ. But or an ally of such, but if you really sat down and talked to everybody, which you're starting to do here on this radio show, everybody comes from a different place. I mean, there are different faiths, there are different political leanings, you know, generations,
as we saw with the Gender Talk podcast, and we've now seen with you as a bisexual, and Paul and Bruce, right, our married couple that we interviewed last month. It's really interesting, right? And it's not so, going to the meet and greet, it's not so cut and dry. There's all these different people in the room of all different ages and all different presentations, right, of gender and things. And even our producer, Tom Bozak, who's sitting here recording this, he and Linda Bozak come, and they're a straight couple, right?
Yes.
And they come almost every single month. And it's great to see these people in our community that care. And it's great to have Oxenfree as the convening space for that. We are here today to promote the LGBTQ meet and greet. Thank you, Susan, for bringing that up. It's the last Sunday of every month at Oxenfree Public House in Brookings, right down the street from the movie theater. It's at 4:00, the last Sunday of every month. You can find more information on Facebook. And thank you, Susan, and your husband, Mark, for helping Joe to get the word out every month through email. That's a really important reminder that goes out. Maybe not everybody has Facebook, and or doesn't feel comfortable maybe identifying on Facebook that they're going to something like that, whereas through email is a little bit more private. And I really appreciate that you all be sure that those emails get sent out. It's really awesome.
Well, it's just one small thing I can do as an armchair activist. It doesn't take much to push a few buttons every month and send that out. But I had suggested to Joe, I mean, we're kind of different generations, that we get the email addresses of anybody interested, because we do have a lot of senior folks who come, and a lot of them just aren't Facebookers. Yeah. I didn't even start Facebook myself till a couple of years ago after I retired from being a social worker, because I didn't want my clients to be able to go on and look at my personal business. So, and some folks just aren't all that computer savvy, so, but they might do email.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're quite involved beyond just sending the meet and greet emails out every month. You've had your hands in other things, so to speak, here in this area. You want to tell us about some of the things you've done?
Sure. Well, when my husband and I moved up here, we noticed in the newspaper that there was a PFLAG chapter in Gold Beach. So it took us a while because of winter storms and that sort of thing to actually go to a meeting. But we went to their picnic a couple of years ago in the park in Gold Beach, and we became active members and got real involved in getting, making sure that at that time that there was a support group meeting both in Gold Beach, and we got one started here in Brookings. And we organized a couple of Halloween parties 2 years in a row. It's hard to believe Halloween's right around the corner again. And my husband did all the flyer development, and we were responsible for getting flyers up in Del Norte and Curry County and three communities. And in addition to being active members of PFLAG, I heard about Joe trying to get something going with a local venue, and he and I met, and we went together and talked to the lady at Oxenfree. I actually wanted to talk to her about maybe bringing a drag show event to town
fundraiser. We want the drag show. Oxenfree, Sonia Billington, if you're listening, we really want a drag show at Oxenfree.
Well, we have a troupe that's interested, and Oxenfree is open to it. It's just that the people in the troupe are very, very busy, so, and they live inland. So, you know, one of these days it'll happen.
They got to escape the smoke too, don't they?
Pardon me?
They got to escape the smoke,
yeah,
though, too,
well,
don't they?
Yeah, well, that's true. But I think I've hooked them up now with Joe, and we'll get around to it eventually, I guess. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Not everybody's into drag culture. That's something that I got exposed to very early on when I was 19 in San Francisco, and I've been interested in it ever since. And I actually have a friend who's a professional drag performer. So, and we got to go to San Francisco to the Gay Pride Parade this summer.
Oh, wow.
2 days after the Supreme Court ruling on marriage equality, we were sitting on Market Street in San Francisco. We paid for seating, so we wouldn't have to stand through the whole thing. And the parade was 7 hours long. We stayed for 6 hours and then started worrying about our dog.
Seven hours, yes.
But it was so much fun. The last time I was there was in 1989 with a girlfriend, and this time I was there with my husband, and he had a blast too. Because we paid for seating, it was mostly seniors sitting around us, so we were surrounded by older gay men and young lesbians. So it was a fun day. I was the only one who got up and cheered when the bisexual contingent went by, but oh well. It was
older
fun.
Gay men and young lesbians. That's an interesting combination.
So we had a fun group.
Susan, would you mind, for those of our listeners that don't know what PFLAG is, to maybe explain to them what PFLAG is?
Well, PFLAG started out in the late 60s with a woman who wanted to support her gay son, and it grew from her living room to a nationwide and even international organization that was a gathering of parents, family, and friends of lesbians and gays. And it's kind of evolved beyond that to also include LGBTQ people themselves. And last year, they did away with PFLAG being an acronym for Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and it's just PFLAG. I guess they figure people by now know what that is.
Which hopefully you do, but if you didn't, you know now.
Right, right.
That's such an interesting story, though, right? Because I know that every time I've been to a gay pride parade, and it's been a while, but they oftentimes happen on, like, Father's Day in Los Angeles, and the PFLAG contingent, right, the group of parents and friends of lesbians and gays in the parade, when these people march by and they're holding these big poster boards that say, I love my gay daughter, I love my transgender son, or I love my homosexual son, or whatever it is, and they're marching together as a family, like, I would literally burst into tears every time, right?
Yes.
As someone who grew up in a conservative Christian home that was taken down to the altar when I was 15 and prayed over and many, many times and went to counseling and all these different things. It's so impactful to know the history of this organization and how it started as allies. It wasn't, right?
Yes.
Here, some of the meetings that I went to, there were a lot of LGBTQ people
right.
in the room. But to think that it really started as people who loved LGBTQ people and wanted to be supportive of them publicly.
Yes, particularly before the sodomy laws yeah. changed and people could go to jail just for being who they were mm-hmm. and loving who they loved. To have their parents stand up for them was quite significant.
Yeah.
We actually had a PFLAG presence in two of the local parades. Last year, let's see, not this past year's Azalea Parade, but the year before that, and last year's Fair Parade in Gold Beach, we had a PFLAG float. But the woman who had the truck and trailer that we built the float on has left the area. So I think that's probably the end of our float
yeah.
floating down the street. But we got a lot of support. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people. It was very interesting riding on the float and watching people's faces, some of whom just lit up when they realized mm-hmm. who we were. And I expect that many of them probably were parents of LGBTQ mm-hmm. people because they were older people. And then we saw some young people, had an opportunity to meet some of the kids from the Gay Straight Alliance here at Brookings Harbor High at the Halloween party two Halloweens ago. And some of them were along the parade route and got excited when they saw us. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's a big deal in a community like Brookings, right?
Yes.
That is traditionally not been so welcoming to LGBTQ people.
Yes.
And to just see all of this happening and the other people that come to the meet and greet, right, from Gold Beach or Hiuchi or Crescent City or wherever, and just the gratefulness that they have that we're able to meet in a public space and it's open and there's a rainbow flag up on Oxenfree, and just the fact that we're acknowledged as people and that we can be open and we don't have to hide. And it's not a, you know, it's for those people who have never been to the meet and greet, it's not like a dating service, right?
No,
it's
just
really
a social.
Yeah, it's just a social thing. It's in the daylight. We all, you know, they tried a dance night one night, but it started at 9 on a Sunday night, and I think
most people
agreed that it was too late.
I mean, Gold Beach
yeah.
They're not gonna
make it.
And Brookings are in bed by then.
Yeah, and I showed up at like 10:15 going, yeah, let's party. I used to live in LA. Oh, nobody was there. And there was like 6 people left. I had a blast, and we all danced and had a really good time.
Well, it was a nice try,
yeah.
and we'll probably try it again. We've gotten both years that we did the Halloween party, we got a good turnout, and we did everything from dancing to games to karaoke to know, just hanging around and talking.
There was like over 50 people at the first one, right?
Yes, and the same the second year.
Wow.
So we had a lot of fun. My husband and I, this last time, had been down in San Francisco to scatter ashes of a friend of mine who wanted to be scattered down there. And while we were there, we went to the GLBT History Museum in the Castro and brought back things to use for door prizes at the party. So that was kind of fun, too. And it was really cool because the Harvey Milk Gotta Give Him Hope t-shirt I brought back was won by somebody who has a brother who is a trans man, and he was going to give the shirt to him. So that was kind of cool.
So you consider yourself a Christian. Yes. Right. That's kind of how we met. Yeah. At St. Timothy's.
You and I met at St. Tim's. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we didn't even meet at PFLAG. We met at church.
Right.
And just this aspect of being in a church together. And, I think the way that we really connected first was your little marriage equality button.
Yes, my right? Love is love button. I wore that button for over 2 years, every single time I left the house. Once in a while, I'd wear a human rights campaign, HRC equality button, but same difference. But the love is love button, I got into so many conversations with so many people over that, and I didn't have a single negative. Nobody said anything mean. I think the youngest person I talked to was probably about 8 years old and wanted to know what it meant. And maybe the oldest was in their 80s and nobody gave me any grief about it. So the morning we left for San Francisco to go to the Pride Parade and do some pet sitting for a cousin who lives down there, was the morning that I fired up the computer to see if the Supreme Court ruling had come in, and it had. So we were really jazzed to drive to San Francisco. I wore the button two more times, and then I retired it because that's right. Love is love. The Supreme Court's ruled on it, and we can move on to other battles.
So you used a term earlier in the podcast, armchair activist, but it certainly doesn't sound like you're sitting in an armchair all the time. I'm looking at this little list that we made before the podcast of things to talk about, and you've been involved in a lot, right? You came up with the Halloween, because I was there when you first brought up the Halloween party idea. So I was there when I was going, Halloween party in Brookings, interesting. And then seeing all the people that came and going, whoa, she was onto something there. And then seeing it the second year and, you know, knowing how many people you met in the community that came out to you is, we do have transgender people in Brookings,
well,
everyone.
Well, that's true. I forgot
right?
about the love is love button. A couple of people came out to me as trans as a result of, you know, they kind of cornered me in the parking lot and said, I saw your button and I know what it means. And I never told anybody this, but I'm telling you now. So that was pretty profound, actually.
Yeah. And talk about being invisible, right? Like in a community like this, it's one thing to be in the closet as a gay person or a lesbian. It's something entirely different, I would think, because I'm not transgender, but to be in this community and be transgender, and where do you go for support? You know, there's not a lot of places, and there's not as, it's not as, you know, aware of where you'd go and who would you talk to? And
well, I would like to say that, you know, we hope to get the PFLAG support group meetings back up, but a person could still get a hold of PFLAG. There's a PFLAG webpage online, PFLAG Gold Beach, and PFLAG Gold Beach on Facebook. So if somebody needed support, they can send a private message that way, and there are people available who could talk to them.
Okay.
I also became aware just a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine here locally who is in the process of transitioning from male to female, kind of in the early stages of it, but has been kind of working on and identifying it for the last year, has been working with a local counselor and psychiatrist. So there are resources here. They aren't necessarily waving a flag and saying, "Here, we're over here," because they might not realize there's a need for any more than one or two people. But I have provided the information about who that therapist and who that psychiatrist are to PFLAG.
Okay.
So they have that resource information if anybody needs it.
Good. Yeah, because I've had the same thing. I've had a few different people actually approach me in the 2.5 years of being back in Brookings saying, you know, I have someone in my life, or me as a person is, you know, and it's a real, you know, it's part of our community, right? Like it or not, LGBTQ, the T is part of our community, and they need support as well. And I think more than anybody else, I know we've talked, Susan, you and I have talked about trans women of color, and we don't have a high percentage of people of color here, but just this aspect that trans people get sort of the brunt of our abuse. And my aunt always says, hurt people, right? And I think that's the thing, is sometimes people have been, you know, they're in the closet and they don't know how to express it. And so they take it out on other people who are LGBTQ, and hurt them because they've been hurt and they don't know how to process it. And they don't know how to be honest about who they are. And I would just like us to see us as a county, and maybe Del Norte as well, because I know there's a number of transgender people down there. See us be a little bit more loving towards those people in our community so they can feel a little bit safer and more welcome here as well.
Well, I know I was very heartened, and I know you are aware of this as well. At one point a few months ago, someone made a comment on Facebook that there would be picketing at Oxenfree during our event, monthly event. And I think that person just was just talking off the top of their head. I don't think there was ever any actual plan to do it. However, many people in the community who are allies rallied, and actually, you know, reading the comments on Facebook was very heartening, saying this is ridiculous in this day and age. These people have a right to get together and have lunch. And many of those allies then showed up that month and packed that place to the rafters. We had over 100 people.
Because it was the biggest one.
They were not going to allow, you know, any kind of trouble. So I thought that was
I was waiting for the trouble right here in River City. I really was. I wanted to see a protest, right? I wanted to see a protest here, and I wanted to see the people from the meet and greet, meet them with love. Right? Because I think it's easy to meet someone in that kind of situation with hatred back.
Well, but it turns out there wasn't anybody. It was pretty hard for me to picture that there'd be a senior citizens on brigade, you know, against LGBTQ people.
Well, ironically, this wasn't a senior citizen. This was a younger person.
Yes, right? I know that, but since the town is pretty much
it was a younger person, and that's what I was expecting. I was expecting conservative Christians, you know, younger people with families to be the people that turned out to picket. And it was just interesting that nobody, you know, nobody did. And there's been nothing, as far as I know, I've heard some people say, I won't ever go into Oxenfree, but that's okay.
That's their
prerogative. It might not be their, you know, it might not be their spot. They might not like it. And I personally love their hot pastrami sandwiches and their sparkling wine. I think it's amazing.
Well, they're terrific allies and wonderful people.
Yeah, they are. And we're celebrating the 1 year anniversary.
That's right. This month will be one year since
we've been meeting.
The first time we met, we had a bunch of raffle prizes to sort of get people fired up and interested in coming.
Were there raffle prizes?
Yeah, there were the very first one. There were tons of raffle prizes, and a lot of local businesses in both Crescent City and Curry County donated stuff. So it was really nice.
I got to start showing up on time for that, because I showed up a half hour late and I guess I missed it.
You must have.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They are celebrating the 1 year anniversary on the last Sunday of this month at 4:00. Susan, do you know the date?
The date is Sunday the 30th at 4 p.m.
Okay.
Oxenfree Public House. Come out wherever you are. They actually have that on there. Yes. Wall because of the all yolly oxen free thing, but yes. I think it's perfect for
us. I took a
picture
of it. So we are here today on the LGBTQ Spotlight with Susan Reeves. We've been talking about bisexual invisibility, armchair activism, living in the Castro in the 70s, P flag. We've talked about so many things. This Sunday, August 30th at 4:00, we are having our 1 year anniversary party for the LGBTQ meet and greet at Oxenfree, right down the street in Brookings from the movie theater, Sunday, August 30th at 4:00. We've been doing this for 1 year. It's really amazing. Thank you so much, Susan, for you and your husband Mark's willingness to send these emails out every month and to partner with Joe to make sure that this happens.
Oh, and we paid for the gay flag, by the way.
Oh,
the flag that hangs up every month.
We purchased. Thank you for the rainbow flag.
And my husband has been on the ladder or spotted Joe on the ladder every month to hang the darn thing. The wind was blowing so hard last month that it actually blew down even with all the magnets. So.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
But Joe rescued it.
Yes, he did. He did. I was wondering how you all got it up there and how you hung it, but now that I know that it's with magnets.
Yeah, the front of the building is metal, so
okay,
it's perfect.
So you hang it with magnets. It's amazing. So, Susan, as we come to the end of the podcast, so now that, you know, love is love and the Supreme Court decision, right, for marriage equality and all of that, there's got to be something else as this armchair activist that you say you are. What's next? You know, what are you passionate about? What's the next thing that we got to work on?
Well, you know, you can get married on Saturday afternoon and go to work on Monday morning and be fired from your job and go home at the end of the day and be kicked out of your apartment in many, many locales. So the next step, I think, is the legislation that our state senator, Jeff Merkley, has put forward to work on making sure that LGBTQ people are protected in housing, in jobs, in every walk of life, that you cannot be discriminated against because you can still be fired from your job or kicked out of your housing.
In the state of Oregon, you can?
No, not in the state of Oregon, but okay. In many places in the United
That's
States.
What I
thought. And this is at the
national level.
National level, yeah.
Yeah, I know there's mm-hmm. other states that's the case. So,
right.
Yeah, that's really sad that people would do that, take someone's livelihood or their home away from them just because of, you know, who they love.
Exactly. But I think things are moving forward. And while there are people in our society who don't want that to happen, it's happening anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And marriage equality, I think really because it puts so many happy people on the media, you know, anybody sitting in their living room, each time a state became a place where same-sex couples could marry, obviously the media presented those marriages, weddings and whatnot, and people got to see that this is just anybody. I mean, there's mm-hmm. these aren't scary people. These are just people that happen to want to marry somebody of their own gender.
Right.
And I think that's broken down a lot of barriers, so... Because people do understand love. Mm-hmm. That's a human emotion, and people do understand it.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people that have been in relationships, committed relationships, for a really long time, whether they're monogamous relationships or not, right? That's not our business. But the fact that they should have the right, they deserve the right to be acknowledged in those relationships. It's not all of a sudden, I don't know, all these, you know, gay men that are now running out and getting married, you know, but people that were already in relationships that had intended to went out and got married or went and renewed their commitment to each other.
Exactly.
In a recognized ceremony. And that's huge, right? Because
well, it is. And there are also over 1,000 civil rights that are afforded to people who are actually married. So
yeah.
You no longer can have a situation if you're married where some one partner dies and the parents of the other, you know, parents mm-hmm. come in and swoop in and take everything they own because mm-hmm. they figure it's theirs, you
yeah.
know. There's just a lot of reasons why if somebody wants to be married, they should have those protections.
Absolutely. Yeah, the protection, the employment protection and housing protection is a big deal. And I agree. I think that's it was kind of bittersweet for me with the marriage equality, because I thought of all these other rights, right? Like the right for have a place to live and the right to be able to gain employment and not have someone digging into your personal life. You know, those are just as important to me, if not more important. And the fact that we don't have that across this land in the United States of America, really makes me sad. And I feel like that should be just
well,
as in the forefront as marriage equality. Well, yeah, but I would like to see it be as, you know, everybody was, you know, celebrate pride and they're changing their Facebook pictures to rainbows and all these things. And I was like, there's other fundamental rights that we're missing for a lot of people in this nation that we need to be sure that they have that aren't just marriage, right? That affect people in a lot of ways, like the right to hold down a job and have a place to live. Those are really important.
They are.
So, Susan, any last thoughts as we come to the end of the podcast? Maybe something that's been itching at you? I know you made a lot of notes, and
I think we probably covered just about everything that I thought we might cover. You know, I worked as a child welfare social worker in Del Norte County for many years. And prior to that, I worked there also many years with disabled babies and children. And between the deaths of many of the disabled babies and children in that organization and then the kind of secondary trauma of dealing with abused and neglected children and their families, I really felt like I needed to remove myself from Del Norte County, even though I loved it there. So it's nice to be 30 miles up the road where I don't know everybody's skeletons in their closet. I don't know much about their history. Mm-hmm. And I can just kind of go back to my desk and focus on the things that make me happy now.
Planning Halloween parties and the like, buying rainbow flags for local businesses. You're really awesome, Susan. I appreciate you and Mark so much. And it's such a blessing to me to have met the both of you. And just with the Halloween parties and just all the things that you both do, it really inspires me, right? Because like you said, you could choose to kind of fade into the background and just live your life with Mark and just be retired here and not be involved, but you've gotten very involved. And it's really awesome, all the stuff that you've done, the conversations that you've had around marriage equality and all of that. And I thank you for that, Susan, a lot.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you for sitting with me today and talking, Susan. This is the LGBTQ Spotlight here on KCIW. We are here today promoting the meet and greet at Oxenfree, the LGBTQ meet and greet. This month is Sunday, August 30th at 4 o'clock. This is the 1-year anniversary. These have been happening for 1 year. Thank you to Susan and Mark and Joe and all the other people, Sonia and everyone at Oxenfree, for making this space available for us. These happen the last Sunday of every month at 4 o'clock. You can find out more information on Facebook, and we'll attach some information about how to contact PFLAG as well, for the website and the Facebook page if you have any questions. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.